Avos, Perik Beis, Mishnah Vav, as far as I'm counting. Some Mishnahs have this as a hey. Here we have Hillel speaking out some more different ideas. There are actually a number of different ideas in this Mishnah. The first thing he says is, Hu haya omer, he used to say, Ein bur yirei chet. A bur can't be fearful of sin. So the word bur, in other contexts, means like an uncultivated piece of land, like virgin soil, meaning once you plow it, it's called a nir, but if it's just raw land, not even plowed, it's just running, you know, lying fallow and doing its thing, that's called a boor. So here we're talking about a human being who is a boor. He's an uncultivated human being. That means he's missing two dimensions. According to the Bartanur, the two dimensions is, number one, he hasn't got Torah, he hasn't got wisdom, he hasn't cultivated his mind. But also, he is not involved even in Derech Eretz, meaning he's not involved even in earning a living. He's not involved in human interactions and daily commerce, you know? So because of that, he's like uncivilized, unsocialized. This person either is a trust fund baby, or, you know, whatever it is, he's being supported, or it doesn't matter, you know, he lives in the bushes, it doesn't matter. The point is, this person, because he hasn't cultivated his mind at all, no Torah, and also hasn't learned just basic human interactions about, you know, if he would work in the dry goods store, he would understand what it means that your word is your word, and to treat people kindly, and to not shortchange people, but he has none of that. And therefore, he can't be Yirei Chet. He's not capable of being even someone who literally means fearful of sin. Well, translate almost like as a good person, someone who, you know, who's able to do the right thing. He isn't able to do the right thing because he's not cultivated at all. Doesn't understand what's right and wrong, doesn't have an intuition of what's right and wrong because he's not involved. So at least if a person were, you know, involved in Derech Eretz, you know, at least he had an honest job, he would understand the way of the world, and that would at least teach him enough that he could be a Yirei Chet, he could not be a bad person. Now, the next thing the Mishnah, now the Rambam learns that the two things he's missing isn't Torah and Derech Eretz, but rather Torah and Midos Tovos. In other words, he hasn't cultivated his character at all. So that kind of person can't be considered a Yirei Chet. Now the next part of the Mishnah is like the next level up. We're talking now about the Am HaAretz. Velo Am HaAretz Chassid. And Am HaAretz can't be a Chassid. Now Am HaAretz means someone who is also uncultivated, but nothing like a boor. He does have Derech Eretz, meaning he has a job. He makes an honest living, he just isn't learned. That's the Bartanura. Ram would be, he has good midos, he's got good character, just again, he's unlearned. So that person could be a Yirei Chet. He's a step up. He really could be a good person. But a chassid, it's hard to translate this exactly, a chassid is someone who goes above and beyond. So this is sort of like a pious person, really someone who's on a whole different level. That's not mandated, not required, but a person could aspire to spiritual greatness and be a pious person, be a chassid. But if you don't, no matter how good you are, if you don't have an understanding, Torah understanding of the subtleties of what the law is, what right and wrong is, how things should work, so then you cannot be a chassid. It's impossible. And the basic idea, I think, is like this, that, you know, we say that a person who is a enu mitzvah oseh, if a person does something not because he was required to do it, because he wanted to do it, so even if he does something that's good, he gets less schar, less reward than a mitzvah oseh, a person who is fulfilling a command, like Hashem said he had to, now he does it, as a manifestation of his being commanded to do so. And that's sort of counterintuitive. You might think, listen, the person who has to be commanded is sort of a less, quote-unquote, good person, the person who does it out of his own volition, out of his own, you know, intuition. But the point is that some people are just born nice guys, so the fact that you're doing the right thing because you feel like doing it, it's just you being you, which is not a bad thing, but not an especially impressive thing. What's impressive, as far as the Torah is concerned, is you're using your bechira to engage with your drives not to do what's right, and then overcome those drives. So there needs to be a tzivu which says you would want to do this, but I'm telling you, don't do it, do something else, and you listen to that. So you can't be a chassid, reaching the sort of special madriga, if you first don't understand exactly what the parameters of the law are, what are you required to do, what's expected of you, what does it mean to be honest in business exactly, what does it mean not to charge interest exactly, what does it mean to keep Shabbos exactly, and then you can opt. You don't have to go above and beyond the letter of the law, but if you decide, listen, I love people so much, I'm going to fulfill my mitzvah of Avas Reim, of the Rech Gamocha, or I love Hashem so much, I want to fulfill my mitzvah of Avas Hashem, and therefore, even though it's not obligatory, I want to go above and beyond and be extra careful or strict about this particular thing. But if you don't know the parameters, then you can't be strict in that way, and therefore you can't be a chassid. Now, the next kind of pair that the Hillel focuses on has to do with learning. So the basic premise of effective education in a Jewish context is not just getting information, but asking questions, which then reveal what's not clear, and getting good answers. And therefore, the Mishnah says, V'lo habayshan lamed, a shy person cannot learn properly. Normally we say that busha, having a sense of shame, is actually a great character trait. We say that Jewish people are baishanim, that they are in general, they're people who are modest people, as well as rachmanim and golin chasadim, they're also merciful and kind. But you want to be a baishan, you want to have a sense of shame, but that's not a good thing to have in the context of the classroom, in the context of learning. You want to be not ashamed and not hesitant to ask questions. You want to admit you don't understand something. And therefore, if a person struggles with that, so he needs to overcome it, because if he doesn't ask the questions he needs to ask, he'll forever be stuck, with uncertainty and not learn. I think it's worth pointing out, in the previous mission I focused on Hillel's, extreme anava, his humility. So let's speak out for a second that one shouldn't conflate busha and anava. You shouldn't make it confuse the issues of being shy with being a humble person, an anav. And the reason why the two separate things is like this. Very often, the person who is the most, socially inhibited is actually someone who is not at all an anav. To the contrary, what happens is, what is busha? This is the baishan. So busha means shame, as opposed to, let's say, like embarrassment. So what does it mean to be ashamed? It means that in your head you expect of yourself to be holding one place, but your actions are in a different place, in a lower place than you expect, and that gap is what causes your shame. This sort of the go-to place for that is you look at the opening stories of Bereishis with Adam and Chava. They were ashamed after their sin. That's what shame is. Okay, so if a person thinks that he is, he thinks he's, a 5 out of 10 in something, but the persona he's projecting the world is that really he's like a 9 out of 10, so then he now becomes very inhibited because he doesn't want to let people catch on that he isn't actually all that he wants them to think he's cracked up to be. So therefore, he's inhibited. A person who is really an anav, and I defined anav yesterday as someone who knows what he is and knows what he isn't. So this person says, listen, this is my capabilities. I'm a 5 out of 10. I'll do it. And if you discover I'm a 5 out of 10, there's no chiddush there because I'm admitting I'm not to hide. So the Baishan obviously is afraid to let on that he doesn't know because people think that he's slow on the uptake, that he's, wasn't paying attention, that he's not respectful, whatever the story is. So that's no good. So therefore, you got to overcome that. You got to learn to be brave and not be shy and ask questions when you're not clear and not be afraid the Rav is like this big, important Rav and you can't talk to him and you can't embarrass yourself and you can't ask questions and people will laugh at you. None of that. You got to be brave and ask your questions. And, says Hillel, V'lo ha-kapdan melamed. The person who's a kapdan, who's sort of strict and exacting, cannot be an effective teacher. It's pretty interesting to me that in Shabbos Lamed Aleph, it says that you should be an anav, like Hillel, and not be a kapdan, like Shammai. So this is actually, Shammai is a kapdan, and here Hillel is suggesting that makes you not effective as a teacher, which is interesting. The word is kapdan is someone who's strict or exacting and demanding, and the point is that he can't be an effective teacher because that sharpness causes a pressure which inhibits people from asking questions. And I think just getting on my soapbox for a moment here. In a classroom setting, I've seen it many times, you have teachers who are clever and witty and make cutting remarks and the kids love it and it keeps them engaged. So it's a very sort of effective tool for many kids, they laugh and they think it's very funny how the Rav is so cutting and clever and oftentimes, puts people in their place. I once had a Rebbe who used to say, there's no such thing as a stupid question, just a stupid person. So that obviously is not good for asking questions. So it's all well and good that a lot of kids, are sort of, the interest is piqued by that kind of behavior, and they love it, and they idolize this very clever Rav. He's so smart, he's so clever, he's so witty and cunning. But That's only half the class. The other half of the class is really inhibited and afraid and uncomfortable to be on the receiving end of those cutting remarks. Therefore, they sort of retreat to the back of the classroom and don't engage and don't learn. So it's important that the teacher is mindful not of the kids he succeeds in reaching, but also the kids he's pushing away, which is a dire failure. Therefore, Nisha says here, you have to be not a kabdai, meaning you have to have all the time in the world for a student. You have to be tolerant of, what seems like silly questions. Understand that people have a hard time. Maybe you weren't as clear as you think you're clear, or this isn't as easy as you think it is. And like everything, the answer to every question is obvious once you know the answer. So you got to be, as a teacher, you have to be encouraging questions, invite questions, not inhibit questions. And you have to be kind and patient and welcoming, and not exacting or demanding or impatient. Okay. Then, v'lo kol amarva b'sechora machkim. And people who are excessively involved in commerce and business can't machkim, they can't become wise. So the idea here is that really a person who's really involved in business, marbe b'schara, excessively involved in business, so he lacks two things that are required for Talmud Torah. The first is he lacks time, just the raw number of hours. It takes time to master Torah, the Masorah, and if you're an active business person, just your time is divided, and therefore you have less time for learning, so you just won't get to where you got to get to. But the second thing, which I think it should speak to us more directly, is focus. The Mefarshim speak out how the person who is the active businessman, he's got his head in another place. He's sitting in the basement, but his head is thinking about the shipment and the delivery and the taxes and the tax strategy whether or not you're a big business person, is certainly analogous to when you're sitting and learning, whatever you're doing. Be like the Adam HaYamus, that's Yamus Ba'ohel, that the person that's like dead in the tent. You're dead to the world. You got to focus. You got to say, listen, I'm sitting now to listen to the shiur. It's going to take 30 minutes, and I'm turning my phone off, and I'm putting it away, and I'm not thinking about the weather or the sports or my emails or what I have to do when I leave. No, I'm present. I'm here. And this is true for all things. People like to, quote-unquote, multitask and do two things at the same time or three things at the same time. It's a fool's errand. It's not more efficient. It's less efficient. If you're using your brain, do one thing at a time and do it to the best of your ability. And when you're sitting and learning, you can't be distracted. You got to be focused. Turn the phone off. Put on airplane mode. Put it away. And then as soon as the shiur is over, or if you can't live the whole day without checking your phone, okay, so fine. Check it every hour on the hour. Fine. But between those hours, be inyanim, be focused, be present, because understanding difficult things like Torah requires attention span and focus. Finally, he says, "Uvamakom she'ein anashim hishtadel lios ish." And in a place where there are no men, try to be a man. So, what Hill is addressing here is a very common, like the good guys, the anavim, the humble people. They see there's a lack in the shul and the community and the school and the classroom and the home, and they say, someone really ought to do something about this. But then they say, but who am I to do it? So Hillel is saying, no. If no one else is doing it, hishtadel. Maybe you're up for the task, maybe you're not. You'll never know till you try. It's going to make you grow. Try your best. And don't be afraid. Don't say, who am I to do it? The answer is, you thought of the idea. You see it's a problem. You own it. You have to do what you can. And don't be hesitant. And the word English, the English word, it's interesting, the word for taking the leadership role that wasn't granted to you, like sort of without permission, is called to arrogate, A-R-R-O-G-A-T-E. And really, it's etymologically very much connected to the word arrogant, right? To think that you're better than you really are. The Mishnah's point here is don't be afraid of what's called yuhara, mechsi kiyura, looking as if you are arrogant by arrogating something that you think isn't really yours to take. No, don't do that. You have to be not worried about you, what you look like and what you are, but worried about the meaningful cause. And as Rav Noach Weinberg used to define enough, actually, you say, enough means what's meaningful is what matters to me. So if it's the right thing to do, do it, and don't worry what people say. Now, there's an important corollary, which actually brought the name in the Mishnah Berurah, Lahalacha. If there are anashim, if there are people doing the job, and you just think you could do it better, well then, that's probably too bad. Unless what they're doing is wrong or bad or harmful, so then you let the existing leadership do its thing. You shouldn't, and you keep your head low. develop yourself, focus on yourself, there'll be a time for you to bring all your light to shine. But if someone's there, you have no right and no need to eclipse them and take them over.